As we continue working our way through the life of David, again, we're going to be looking at 2 Samuel chapter 19. We're going to look at verses 8 through 43 today. Absalom, King David's third son, staged this rebellion against his father. And David, he had to flee from Jerusalem. He was able to gather some of his loyal supporters together to himself. And then there was this battle that ensued that took place. And Absalom and his army, they were defeated. Some 20,000 soldiers died that day, along with Absalom himself, who was killed. And you may remember from last week that I said, it's not normal for parents to have to bury their children. The natural progression is for children to bury their parents. I had to make sure I had that going correctly and stuff like that. So that's what's happened. David has now had to bury three of his own children. David was mourning for the loss of his son Absalom. But then it was time for David to return into Jerusalem and reestablish the kingdom under his rule. And today's lesson is about David and his return into Jerusalem and the grace that he extended to those along the way. I'm going to ask you to stand as we read through our scripture, 2 Samuel 19, verses 8 through 43. Again, if you need to stay seated, you are more than welcome to. If you have to sit down anywhere in the middle, then please do. So the king got up and took his seat in the gateway. When the men were told, "The king is sitting in the gateway," they all came before him. Meanwhile, the Israelites had fled to their homes. Throughout the tribes of Israel, all the people were arguing among themselves, saying, "The king delivered us from the hand of our enemies. He is the one who rescued us from the hand of the Philistines. But now he has fled the country to escape from Absalom. And Absalom, whom we anointed to rule over us, has died in battle. So why do you say nothing about bringing the king back?" King David sent this message to Zadok and Abiathar, the priests. "Ask the elders of Judah, why should you be the last to bring the king back to his palace, since what is being said throughout Israel has reached the king at his quarters? You are my relatives, my own flesh and blood. So why should you be the last to bring back the king? And say to Amasa, are you not my own flesh and blood? May the God deal with me, be it ever so severely, if you are not the commander of my army for life in place of Joab." He won over the hearts of the men of Judah so that they were all of one mind. They sent word to the king, "Return, you and all your men." Then the king returned and went as far as the Jordan. Now the men of Judah had come to Gilgal to go out and meet the king and bring him across the Jordan. Shimei, son of Gera, the Benjamite from Bahurim, hurried down with the men of Judah to meet King David. With him were 1,000 Benjamites, along with Ziba, the steward of Saul's household, and his 15 sons and 20 servants. They rushed to the Jordan where the king was. They crossed at the ford to take the king's household over and to do whatever he wished. When Shimei, son of Gera, crossed the Jordan, he fell prostrate before the king and said to him, "May my lord not hold me guilty. Do not remember how your servant did wrong on the day my lord the king left Jerusalem? May the king put it out of his mind. For I, your servant, know that I have sinned. But today I have come here as the first from the tribes of Joseph to come down and meet my lord the king." Then Abishai, son of Zeruiah, said, "Shouldn't Shimei be put to death for this? He cursed the Lord's anointed." David replied, "What does this have to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah? What right do you have to interfere? Should anyone be put to death in Israel today? Don't I know that today I am king over Israel?" So the king said to Shimei, "You shall not die." And the king promised him an oath. Mephibosheth, Saul's grandson, also went down to meet the king. He had not taken care of his feet or trimmed his mustache or washed his clothes from the day the king left until the day he returned safely. When he came from Jerusalem to meet the king asked him, "Why didn't you go with me, Mephibosheth?" He said, "My lord the king, since I, your servant, am lame, I said, I will have my donkey saddled and will ride on it so I can go with the king. But Ziba, my servant, betrayed me, and he has slandered your servant to my lord the king. My lord the king is like an angel of God, so do whatever you wish." All my grandfather's descendants deserved nothing but death from my lord the king, but you gave your servant a place among those who eat at your table. So what right do I have to make any more appeals to the king?" The king said to him, "Why say more? I order you and Ziba to divide the land." Mephibosheth said to the king, "Let him take everything now that my lord the king has returned home safely." Barzillai the Gileadite also came down from Rogalim to cross the Jordan with the king and to send him on his way from there. Now Barzillai was very old, 80 years of age. He had provided for the king during his stay in Mahanaim, for he was a very wealthy man. The king said to Barzillai, "Cross over with me and stay with me in Jerusalem, and I will provide for you." But Barzillai answered the king, "How many more years will I live that I should go up to Jerusalem with the king? I am now 80 years old. Can I tell the difference between what is enjoyable and what is not? Can your servant taste what he eats and drinks? Can I still hear the voices of male and female singers? Why should your servant be an added burden to my lord the king? Your servant will cross over the Jordan with the king for a short distance, but why should the king reward me in this way? Let your servant return that I may die in my own town near the tomb of my father and mother. But here is your servant Kimham. Let him cross over with my lord the king. Do for him whatever you wish." The king said, "Kimham shall cross over with me, and I will do for him whatever you wish. And anything you desire from me, I will do for you." So all the people crossed the Jordan, and then the king crossed over. The king kissed Barzillai and bid him farewell, and Barzillai returned to his home. When the king crossed over to Gilgal, Kimham crossed with him. All the troops of Judah and half the troops of Israel had taken the king over. Soon all the men of Israel were coming to the king and saying to him, "Why did your brothers, the men of Judah, steal the king away and bring him and his household across the Jordan together with all his men?" All the men of Judah answered the men of Israel, "We did this because the king is closely related to us. Why are you angry about it? Have we eaten any of the king's provisions? Have we taken anything for ourselves?" Then the men of Israel answered the men of Judah, "We have 10 shares in the king, so we have a greater claim on David than you have. Why then do you treat us with contempt? Weren't we the first to speak of bringing back our king?" But the men of Judah pressed their claim even more forcefully than the men of Israel. Thank you. You may be seated, and may the Lord bless the reading of his holy word. Now, this has nothing to do with anything, but as I'm reading that, doesn't it just sound like a lot of bickering taking place there? Things haven't changed much. Now, Pastor Matt Chandler writes about a time when he and a couple of his friends invited a young woman, her name was Kim, to go with them to a gospel concert. Matt was hopeful that Kim would come to Christ that evening, would come to know her as her Lord and Savior. However, what occurred, it was a train wreck. Chandler actually writes, "The preacher took the stage and disaster ensued. He gave a lot of statistics about STDs. There was a lot of, 'You don't want syphilis, do you?' His big illustration was to take out a single red rose. He smelled the rose dramatically. He caressed the petals and he talked about how beautiful that rose was and how it had been freshly cut just that day. And then he threw the rose out into the crowd and he encouraged everyone to pass it around amongst themselves. Now, as he neared the end of his message, he asked for that rose back. But by now, it was broken. It was drooping. The petals, they were falling off. And he led up to how ugly this rose was for all to see. He held it up. And his big finish, it was this. "Now, who in the world would want this?" His words and his tone were merciless. His essential message, which was supposed to be a message that represents Jesus' message to a world of sinners, was this: "Hey, don't be a dirty rose." Now, Matt didn't hear from Kim for a few weeks, until one day when her mother called and said that Kim had been in an auto accident. Matt immediately went to visit her. And he writes that in the middle of their conversation, seemingly out of nowhere, she asked him, Do you think I'm a dirty rose? Chandler writes that his heart sank inside him. But he began to explain to her the gospel of Jesus Christ and that Jesus wants the rose. It is Jesus' desire to save, to redeem, and to restore the dirty rose. King David had experienced rebellion, betrayal, anger, and even rejection. However, he had won the battle against his rebellious son, Absalom. And now he was set to return to Jerusalem. Many are wondering, how is David going to treat those who had opposed him? Would he treat his opponents with harshness, with disfavor? They certainly deserved it. However, instead of deserved harshness and disfavor, we actually see David displaying grace and mercy to others upon his return to Jerusalem. Our scripture today shows us the grace of the returning king, and I'm going to give you a little spoiler that's going to come up at the end. We're not just talking about King David here. Remember, David points us to Jesus Christ. Keep that in mind as we go through. Because the very first thing we see is that grace is given to the unable. The second part of verse 8 says, meanwhile, the Israelites had fled to their homes. All those in Israel, that is the men of the 10 northern tribes, they're the ones who had supported Absalom in this rebellion against David and his kingdom. They have now all fled back to their homes. They affirmed that David, not Absalom, had delivered them from their enemies and from the Philistines. Even more than that, Absalom, who they had anointed as king as a replacement for David, he is now dead. And so they're arguing among themselves about bringing David back as the king over all of Israel. But you see, they had been a part of the rebellion, the rebellious army that had tried to kill David. And commentator Richard Phillips, he summarizes their predicament this way. He says the problem was how to approach David and secure his favor once again. Phillips continues, the Israelites' situation with respect to David was similar to the sinner's quandary with God. Having offended our Lord in rebellion and sin, we question what we can do to regain his lost favor. The indecision of the Israelites, it mirrors our own futility in reconciling ourselves to the throne of God. The good news for the people of Israel is that David, he actually took the initiative to do what they were unable to do for themselves. He organizes a meeting with his own tribe, the people of Judah. A little bit later on, the people of Israel, they complain about the people of Judah and how they weren't invited to meet with David. However, my point is this. David extended grace to the rebellious people of Israel, all of the 10 from the northern tribe. They deserved his disfavor, but he gave them grace. The second thing we see as we move along is that grace is given to the angry. David arrives at the Jordan River on his return to Jerusalem. Now, you may recall, we spoke about a few weeks ago, in David's flight, as he's fleeing from Jerusalem, Shimei, he angrily was up on the hill and he was hurling these curses down at David, talking about him. But not only that, he was throwing stones down at him while he was in Bahurim. Perhaps Shimei expected David to be defeated. David's going to lose this, so it's not going to matter. But now David is victorious and he's returning to Jerusalem. And so Shimei, he had to rethink his relationship to David. Verse 16 says, Shimei, son of Gera the Benjamite from Bahurim, hurried down with the men of Judah to meet King David. And we read that as soon as Shimei saw King David, it says that he fell prostrate before the king. He went flat right in front of him. And he says, may my Lord not hold me guilty. Do not remember how your servant did wrong on the day my Lord the king left Jerusalem. May the king put it out of his mind. For I, your servant, know that I have sinned. Now, some will say that Shammai's repentance, it was not true repentance. He mistakenly thought that David is going to lose this battle against Absalom. But David is actually victorious, and so now Shammai, he's just simply trying to cover his back. He's trying to protect his own skin here. Abishai, he is one of David's generals, and he certainly thought that's what Shammai is doing, that his repentance is fake. Because once again, Abishai, he wants to cut off Shammai's head. He's got a thing for cutting heads off, I guess. But David's not going to allow it to happen. He actually says to Shammai, "You shall not die." And the king gave him his oath. Yes, it was true that Shammai had once been angry against God's anointed king on earth. But David now saw a man in Shammai who had confessed to him about his previous sin of anger and was repentant about it. And so David extended grace to a sinner who confessed his sin. The third thing we see is that grace is given to the betrayer. Now Shammai, he did not come alone to come and see David. In addition, there's 1,000 Benjamites who were with him. And Ziba, the steward of Saul's household, his 15 sons and 20 of his servants, they all rushed down to the Jordan where the king was. They crossed at the ford to take the king's household and to do whatever it was that he wished. Now, you may also recall Ziba. He met David when he was fleeing from Jerusalem. Ziba had a couple donkeys with him that had all kinds of food and wine and provisions for David and for his men. And this was a very risky trip for Ziba because Absalom, he's getting ready to capture Jerusalem. Ziba was at that time the servant of Saul's grandson, Mephibosheth. And when David asked Ziba where Mephibosheth was, Ziba actually betrayed his master by saying that Mephibosheth had stayed in Jerusalem in order to somehow try to regain the kingdom for himself. And without even hearing Mephibosheth's side of the story at that time, David then goes and gives everything that had belonged to Mephibosheth, and he gave it to Ziba. Now, in a short while, David, he's also going to meet and hear Mephibosheth's side of the story. And rather than punishing Ziba for betraying his master, David returned the previous reward, what he had given to Ziba, and he gave it back to the original arrangement. Verse 29 says, "Why say more? I order you and Ziba to divide the land." That basically is that Ziba and his sons and his servants, they would farm the land and take care of the land for Mephibosheth, just as they had been doing. And in that way, they would provide for Mephibosheth. You see, David, he could have punished Ziba for his betrayal of his master and the way he had lied. But you see, Ziba had also helped David. He seemed to be willing to do that again. And so David, he extended grace to one who had betrayed his master. The fourth thing we see is that grace is given to the disabled. Mephibosheth, who is Saul's grandson, he also went down to meet the king. He had not taken care of his feet or trimmed his mustache or even washed his clothes from the day the king left until the day that the king had returned. That had to be a long time. And David wanted to know why Mephibosheth did not leave Jerusalem with him to go with him. Mephibosheth, who was crippled in both of his feet, he is dependent on others for help. He actually tells David that Ziba had deceived him when he left Jerusalem without him to bring the food and the wine to David and to his men. And Mephibosheth, his derangled, his all tattered looking self, it gave proof of his loyalty to David. Even more than that, Mephibosheth affirmed that he really did not care about the property, all that wealth. It didn't matter to him. He simply wanted King David back in Jerusalem. He actually says, "Let him take everything now that my lord the king has returned home safely." Mephibosheth, he loved David. You may remember that Mephibosheth, he was David's best friend, Jonathan. He was Jonathan's son. So In our culture, on Guam and the Philippines, he would be Uncle David to Mephibosheth. David had previously allowed Mephibosheth to eat with him and was taking care of him. And now that David has returned, Mephibosheth, he is delighted. David would once again extend grace to one who was disabled. And fifth, there is grace that is given to the generous. Barzillai the Gileadite also came down from Rogalim to cross the Jordan with the king and to send him on his way from there. Now, Barzillai was very old, 80 years of age. He had provided for the king during his stay in Mahanaim, for he was a very wealthy man. He was one of the one who was providing, who was giving provisions to David while he was there on the run. And David wanted Barzillai to join him there in Jerusalem. But Barzillai said, he's too old. He simply wanted to spend his last days there in his home. But Barzillai offered Kimham to go and to be with David. So David accepted Barzillai's offer. And he promises to do for Barzillai, that is for Kimham, whatever it was that Barzillai wanted him to do. Commentators point out that David was faithful to his promise to Barzillai. 400 years later, the prophet Jeremiah said that after the death of Gedaliah, some Israelites fled to a place called Gerith Kimham near Bethlehem. Apparently, David had given Kimham some property near Bethlehem. It could have been some of David's own property that he had given to Kimham. You see, Barzillai, he had been generous to David and his followers as they were fleeing from Jerusalem in a time of great need. And now David, he is being generous back to Barzillai. And so David extended grace to the generous. You see, as we look at our scripture this morning, we need to respond by receiving the grace of our returning king. David Slagle of Decatur, Georgia, he tells a story about his being from the South and his love for ribs. He and some of his friends, they drove some 50 minutes to a restaurant that had these amazing ribs. The place, it was packed and the food, it was great. You see, it was all-you-can-eat rib night. Rib bones, they're piling up as fast as the line was to get in. But as you know, eating ribs can be a very messy business. You know, barbecue sauce, it gets all over your hands, it gets all over your face, it gets all over everything. Dirty napkins, they begin to pile up next to the half-eaten bowls of baked beans and coleslaw. And when David and his friends, when they had finished eating all that they could possibly eat, they paid their tab and they left. And that's when David reached into his pocket for his keys, and they came up empty. They weren't there. He hoped that he'd simply left the keys in the ignition, and so he looked, but the keys aren't there in the ignition. But you see, the keys are not only for his car, but for his house and for his office as well. And then he realized... Thanks, Mike. And then he realized... I don't even know where I'm at anymore. That his keys, that they had somehow slid off when they were cleaning everything up and into the trash can with all of the leftovers, the bones, the dirty napkins, everything else, in the garbage they went. And that's when he realizes he is going to have to dig through that garbage, that trash can, in order to find his keys. He fished through beans and bones and barbecue, corn cakes, coleslaw, all these dirty, filthy napkins, until he found and was able to get a hold of his precious keys. Did you ever find yours? No, never found them. David Slagle, he actually concludes by saying, I think about our dumpster diving God. Which sounds really weird, doesn't it? Follow along with this. I mean no respect by calling him that. On the contrary, I have a soaring adoration for the infinite God who left the pristine, sinless heaven to reach through the filth and the rubbish of this fallen world for something that was precious to him. See, that's something that was me. that something was also you. And you see, David's actions, they point us to his greater son, Jesus Christ. Instead of deservedly receiving his harshness and his disfavor, Jesus offers us, each and every one of us, grace. We are the unable, we are the angry, we are the betrayer, we are the disabled, and yes, sometimes we are even the generous, to whom Jesus gives his love and his mercy and his grace. And when you think about it, that is totally awesome. And just as David was able to return into Jerusalem, so one day Jesus Christ is going to return to earth. So let us respond to this offer, to this grace that is given to us by Jesus Christ. Let us respond and receive the grace from Jesus, our King.